Turning for our scripture reading to the sixth chapter of the Gospel of John. Picking up where we left off last week and turning to chapter 6 at verse 41. So Jesus had begun talking of himself, speaking of himself, revealing himself as the bread from heaven. And then at verse 41, we read, "The Jews grumbled about him because he said, 'I am the bread that came down from heaven.' They said, 'Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, I have come down from heaven?' Jesus answered them, 'Do not grumble among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except him who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh.' The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, 'How can this man give us his flesh to eat?' So Jesus said to them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not as the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever.' And Jesus said these things in the synagogue as he taught at Capernaum." But that's the Lord's blessing. The Lord God, you are great. You are high and lifted up. And you are all knowledge and all power. And you are love itself. We pray, Lord, that you would lead us by your Spirit and your Word to know you as the God of love, and the God who speaks truth, and the God who gives life, and the God in whom alone there is light. We pray that you would draw us, each and every one, by the power of your Spirit and your Word, to know you, and to know Jesus, and you through Jesus, that we might live forever. We live in a world that is set against you. We live in a world that is filled with arguments that say, there is no God, or at least, you are not he. And they make up their own gods. We live by idols. We plead with you, O Lord, turn our hearts by your word of truth to seek you and to know you and to know the joy and the freedom and the hope of eternal life that is in Jesus. In whose name we pray. Amen. Beloved congregation in the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus said, no one, you know, maybe even to hear that properly, we should put ourselves in the place of the Jews for a second. How can he say he came down from heaven? How can he give us his flesh to eat? Good arguments, not? Jesus should answer that. Jesus should definitely answer that. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. There's no doubt that this text powerfully teaches that it is ultimately God who saves. It is God who sent Jesus into the world. It is God who placed him on the cross. It is God who raised him from the dead, although the Bible says that Jesus himself rose from the dead because he is God. It is also God who sends his word out into the world. Think of Isaiah 57. He says, like the rain and the snow that fall from heaven and water the earth and make it sprout, so is my word that goes out into the world. It will not return to me empty. And here it says even that you and I will still not believe in Jesus unless the Father who sent him draws us. Faith is a gift of God. That's what Paul says in Ephesians 2. Faith is a gift of God so that no man can boast before him. And Jesus says here then, you and I have no bragging rights over anyone. Not because we believe and follow Jesus. That's a gift. At the same time, you know, you look at this verse, and it's a very powerful, very well-known verse. You look at it, and as you study it, a funny thing happens. We find that this text, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws. This text was not intended as a proof text that God is sovereign in the gift of salvation. It was intended for salvation. Jesus is answering the Jews. On the one hand, I would argue that this text is meant as an encouragement to the evangelist himself, the one who goes out at the calling and purpose and by the Spirit of God and tries to bring the gospel into the world. It's encouragement for him. We will so often run into people with all kinds of complaints against God and reasons not to believe. We got so many reasons not to believe. But the text is a reminder to us that some will hear the voice of God and they will believe. So don't get discouraged by those who don't. But at the same time, the real intention of Jesus is to make the most dramatic appeal to us all as hearers. We can be so impressed with the arguments, and I struggled with some of the arguments. I'm not afraid to admit that. We can be so impressed with all those arguments against God. That Jesus just says, the Father who sent me does not open your mind and your heart. You will continue in your blindness. It's the way it is. The Jews were grumbling against Jesus. In a nutshell, what did Jesus say? Not to be too crass, but he said, shut up and listen or you will die. It's like they were standing on a bridge threatening to commit suicide. And Jesus said, if you want to die, jump. If you want to live, listen up. All who hear and learn from the Father come to me. They claim to believe in the Father. He was appealing to them. They claim to believe in the Father. Jesus says, listen then to the Father. Our theme is drawn to Jesus by the Father. And I want to look at the command to put grumbling to death and then the call to feed on Jesus' flesh. So in terms of putting grumbling to death, let's look at what's happening here and try to understand what's going on. If you remember from last week, Jesus was trying to get them to turn their attention from and their desire from bread for the stomach to bread from heaven, from desires of the body to desires of the soul. He said, you're searching for me not because of the signs, but because you ate your fill, because you had bread in your stomach. He said, do not labor for food that perishes, but for food that endures to eternal life. Now, this is such a common problem. Even in many of the modern circles where you see the pursuit of miraculous healing and all kinds of things like that. What is the focus in the end? Is it the concerns of the body or the concerns of the soul? Temporary healing or eternal healing? Jesus says so dramatically, work for bread, the bread of eternal life. I am the bread of eternal life. I came down from heaven. And the first thing we hear then is the Jews start to grumble about him because he said he came down from heaven. Now, John doesn't usually use the word Jews for the opposition that he runs into in Galilee. But here he wants us to see that it is the children of Abraham. It is those who think they are clean. It is those who follow Moses meticulously who oppose him. It's not the world that has not known him. It is those who think they're good. They oppose him. And John wants us to notice that. It's just like the same people grumbling and wanting to stone Moses, saying to Moses, why'd you bring us out of Egypt? You want us to die in the desert? Ah, but think about the leeks and the onions and the fish that we had in Egypt. So there's a little slavery there. That's okay. They were murmuring against God. They didn't care about the promised land, eternal life. Interested in their stomachs. Now, if we get into their mindset, this is not so strange, I think. You know, we recognize these are Jews now who had come seeking Jesus because he had multiplied the bread and fed them. And they're thinking, wow, that's cool. And they actually were ready to make him king. He made bread out of a little bit. They were going to make him king. And now he talks about, I am the bread of life that came down from heaven. There's tremendous disappointment here. What are you talking about now? They were not believing. They were not thinking. Was it Augustine who said 1800 years ago, I believe that I may understand? Do you notice how our world is turned on its head by Augustine's statement? We think, okay, if you can convince my head, then my heart will come along. And Augustine said 1800 years ago, I believe, and then maybe I can understand. And the Jews grumble. How can he come down from heaven? Isn't this Jesus? We know his father and his mother. Who does he think he is? Now, to us, this argument might sound reasonable, except these are supposed to be Moses scholars. Moses said the Messiah, the king, when he came, would be raised up from among his brothers. Of course they would know his father and mother. Why didn't they reflect on that? Why didn't they try to understand in faith what Jesus could possibly mean with this? But they're not trying to understand. There's no prayer and humility. There's no questions. There's grumbling. That's not questions. They're making arguments and quarrels. That's not questions. We look at this. We look at verse 63. We didn't get there. We'll get there some next time we come back to this. But if we look at verse 63, Jesus is using spiritual language. He says, my words are spiritual. We might look at this and we might say that the Spirit of God is striving with them. The Spirit of the Father is at this point striving with them. But we might also say they are resisting the Spirit. They are refusing to see. And that is such a caution to us. For this is the deception of the pride of men. That we will resist the Spirit of the Father. But Jesus does not stoop to their level. He is not drawn into their quarrelsome unbelief. He cuts through the smoke screen and he says, stop grumbling among yourselves. Listen. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And it's written in your prophets, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Stop grumbling and listen. Do not resist the Spirit. The prophets whom you claim told of my coming. They told of the works that I would do, which I have been doing and which you have all seen. If you will be taught by the Father, you will see and you will come to me. If you refuse, you will lose. But we see so many examples of this spirit of unbelief at work, closing our ears. If we look at the Bible, we studied Malachi with the youth very recently on Thursday night. Malachi preaches to the Jews who had returned to Jerusalem after the after being deported to Babylon for a time. They are so joyful in returning to Jerusalem and the promised land. And what do? In so many ways, they go back to their old ways. And so the prophet Malachi charges them with the sin that they're walking back into. He charges them with despising the Lord's altar. And what do they say? Oh, how what should we do? What shall we do? No, that's not what they say. It is a question. But this is what the question is. How do we do that? It's a question, but it's not a question. So the prophet comes back. You do it with diseased animals. They were bringing the blind and the lame and the scarred animals to the altar of God. And if we try to apply it today, think about trying to serve God with our leftover time and our leftover money and whatever's left over, and realizing that there's nothing ever left over. There's always application. The prophet says to them, you cover the Lord's altar with your tears. You say, because he does not hear you. You say, why does he not hear us? They're grumbling and complaining against God. Why does he not hear us? And Malachi says, you're broken faith with the wives of your youth. You're marrying foreign women. You're disobeying God. You're not following him. What's wrong with you? And you say, why does he not hear us? So often a spirit of unbelief can hinder us from hearing the word of God and understanding with our hearts. Now, I don't know what you're talking about. I can't understand you. Is that always really true? So often wanting to hold on to a pet sin or exalt ourselves somehow. So often that is so determinative in terms of whether we're open to the Spirit. Instead, we're in grumbling mode about what we heard. And we gained nothing. Notice here, Jesus does not give an inch. He presses the issue. Stop grumbling. Truly, I say to you, I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna that Moses gave them in the desert. You know, that manna that you're so impressed with. But they died in the desert under the judgment of God, and you know that. I am the living bread. If a man eats of me, he will live forever. The bread that I give for the life of the world is my flesh. And now he's getting really crazy. Sounds like it to them. Now Jesus knows that the teaching is hard. He knows that only the Spirit of God can reveal it to them. But it's like he says to them, be quiet, humble yourselves, and call on God for understanding, or you will die in your sin, just like your fathers did. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And the word for draw is the same as drawing water out of a well. And I never have seen water trying to help along, getting out of the well. But notice Jesus also says, same time, all who have heard and learned from the Father will come to me. That is part of the same text. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. That's our text. That's our memory. That's all we know. It's not the whole text. All who have heard and learned from the Father will come to me. And that's what so many miss. God does draw. Indeed, we are taught here that God is sovereign, but we are equally taught to listen to the Father, and that is God at work drawing us. We're taught to listen to the prophets who spoke from God. They all told of the Christ for thousands of years. And no one can do that except God. God says himself, there's my signature. That's how you know this is me telling you that Jesus is coming to them, telling you all about it before he got there. And then I'll bring it about. And I'm giving you many witnesses that it was brought about. It's God's signature. Listen to God. God said all along that the Savior, the Messiah, would give his flesh and shed his blood to take away the sins of the world. If we will learn from the Father, we will be drawn to Jesus. And specifically, I want to point out, and we want to notice, that we are drawn to feeding on Jesus' flesh. I know we are concerned for health. I know we're concerned for food. Of course, Jesus said, the Father knows you need all those things. And so we pray for each other and we try to help each other. But we do have to ask the question too. Ultimately, what is your desire? Food for your stomach that'll last for a few days or a few years? Or the food of eternal life? It's a good question to ask yourself. Now, if you're like me, you have some sympathy for the Jews at this point. When Jesus says, feed on my flesh, and think, what? Look at how unequivocally Jesus states this. How stark and radical it is. This is the bread I will give for the life of the world, my flesh. That's a word that has no, you can't equivocate, you can't pretend. It's there. And so the Jews really start to get antsy. They start to dispute with each other. You can't believe this guy. He's crazy. So Jesus just states it in stronger words. Truly, truly, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. You got to think about that. How does that sound to them? We find it difficult. The church has struggled over these words trying to understand just how they are to be received. The Jews lived in a world where people did eat flesh and drink blood as part of trying to gain from the gods. Even the Jews ate the lamb. And now Jesus here saying, the bread I'll give for the life of the world is my flesh. They're going to take it literal. And they're going to say, even drinking the blood of animals was forbidden to the Jews under Moses. It's a hard saying. Sounds so off the wall that many of them stopped following him. As I mentioned, we'll take a look at that next time because there's a powerful verse there that everybody needs to know. But we have no true life in us any other way. That much is obviously true. That can't be even spiritual language. That's just true. There is no true life, eternal life in us any other way but feeding on Jesus, eating his flesh. Jesus does not qualify his words. He does not back up at all. He does not soften his words. He does not restate them. He does not clarify. There is no peace with God except we eat his flesh and drink his blood. And if we have trouble with that, he's saying, deal with it. Ask God for understanding. And I look at this and think, and then I think, Jesus is such a good teacher. If a teacher never gets our attention, we never learn anything. Try teaching a class, especially of young children, but anybody actually. You know when you're engaging. It's a little harder here sometimes. You try to tell from the eyes, but you can't really tell. But in your conversation in class, you can. If you're not getting people's attention, they're not learning anything. Jesus gets our attention. My flesh is true blood. My blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on me, flesh and my flesh and blood, abides in me and I in him. Now, I think he's got our attention. If we're listening at all, he's got our attention. I want to say two things about this before we end. We do know that his words are spirit, as we mentioned. So he's talking about his flesh and blood, and there's some manner in which these words are spirit. That's what we've got to tease out. Verse 63. There's some spiritual understanding of what he means with this. And so what we find out is that these words, you know, because some people say, well, that's about the Lord's Supper. There we're eating the bread and wine right there. I'm sorry, the bread and wine, the flesh and the blood right there. And that's one way we go. But you know what? We need to look at this. And we need to, when we get actual understanding of what Jesus is teaching here, we find out that these words are not even first about the Lord's Supper. There's some application, you know, about loving to be at the Lord's table and hearing the Word of God that comes to us as we eat and drink. There's an application to be made there. That's true. But Jesus is teaching us to be concerned for food for the soul, not for the body. So we can't be talking about flesh and blood in that sense. Got to be something a little different there. He wants us to feast our souls, our hearts, our minds on the gift of his flesh and blood on the cross. He is talking about the gift of his flesh and his blood without any equivocation. But we feast our souls by looking at that gift and basing our lives on that gift. Not just in worship. Not just sometimes, but basing our lives in that gift. The heart of our hope must be the cross and in the resurrection that could not bypass the cross. The second thing we need to say here is that Jesus uses an unusual word for feeding. And he says, feed on the flesh of man. He uses an unusual word that does not so much come across in our language, but he's using a different word than what is translated elsewhere, eat. He doesn't say eat, he says feed on my body. It's an attempt to get at the difference in the word. It is like he says we must feast on his body and blood. We must, in terms of seeing his gift of life by his death on the cross, his body and blood on the cross, we must feed on that like we are smacking our lips and licking our hands and getting a second helping. Eating of the flesh of Jesus and drinking his blood must be like the best banquet to us. So can we fill our plate before God with a little of everything that we are given in the flesh of Christ? And that's how I like to go to a banquet. Really hold back at the beginning so you get a little bit of everything and just taste all the different things that are on there so much. Can we fill our plate with what is given by God in Jesus? I can think of Romans 5. While we were yet enemies, Christ died for us. He did not die for me because I was saying, oh God, please send Jesus for me. He died for me while I was saying, get lost. He took hold of me and drew me in. I can feast on that for a while. Ephesians 2. For by grace you are saved. This is not of yourselves. It's a gift of God through faith. That's his gift. So that no man can boast. I can feast on that. 1 Timothy 1 verse 15. The words of Paul. This is a faithful saying. What makes this powerful? Because Paul is thinking about his time as Saul when he was killing. He actually murdered early believers. He went to other cities looking for them, dragging them back and killing them. That is who he was. And it's with that in mind that he says this. This is a faithful saying. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Save me. 1 Corinthians 6. You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Do you have any idea? Have you worked through? Do you reflect on how precious that is to know that you were bought with the blood of Jesus Christ, and you belong to God, and He is jealous for that which belongs to Him? And here we read, whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. Do we feed on that? Do we search into that? Do we sing about that? Do we ask what difference this makes in our lives? Or does this sometimes just go in one ear and out the other? The Father made clear for millennia that He would send the Savior into the world, and that it would be His body and blood that brought salvation and establish a new world. And the Father also made clear that He would draw His children to Himself by His word of truth and His Spirit. They would all listen and be taught by Him. But this is how He draws us, with cords of kindness, showing mercy. And all who listen will feast on the truth of Jesus and live forever by the flesh that He gave for the life of the world. That is our hope. That is our confidence. That will never be overthrown, because we belong to God. Amen.